What a fool believes, no wise man can reason away. Let me state that again. What a fool believes, no wise man can reason away. Is Jesus on the ballot anywhere? If not, how would Jesus vote come November the 6th? Joining us now is Dr. Andy Woods, Pastor Woods from Sugarland Bible Church. He recently opined how an evangelical Christian can support a Mormon for president. Pastor Andy, welcome to the What's Up program.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
I was driving on Sunday night, and I heard on the radio, and that's why I try to reset and tell our listeners who's on and where they can be found every 3 or 4 minutes, because these guys went on and on for about 15, 20 minutes. I never heard who they were, where you could find them, and follow up with them. But they were saying, what a fool believes, no wise man can reason away. Should we take the next 18, 20 minutes and walk through why you believe an evangelical can vote for a Mormon?
Sure.
Why do you believe that you as a pastor and a you teach at a Bible college, right?
That's correct,
How can you, on one hand, say that Mormonism might be a cult, but yet go out and vote for somebody that really was, a bishop in the Mormon church and still is an official with the church?
Right. I think what we're really voting for in a president is his governmental philosophy. With both of the candidates this time around, I can nitpick their personal theology equally. For example, as you pointed out, Romney is a Mormon, but at the same time, Obama is an espouser of a doctrine called liberation theology. At least he spent 20 years in a church, Reverend Jeremiah Wright's church, which teaches liberation theology, which is very unbiblical as well.
Take a minute and explain to our listeners how this Marxist theology, Marxist ideology, co-opted Christianity, especially in South America, and turned Christianity and the doctrine of the good news, the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ, into what is termed liberation theology.
Well, the gospel, as you know, and as Bible believers know, is that Jesus has come into the world to save us from the consequences of our sin, personal sin, which separates us from God. And we accept by faith what he has done, and that's our redemption and our deliverance. Marxism is the idea that we need to be saved from capitalism, or the owner exploiting the employee. And so personal sin, in terms of our redemption from that, is sort of repackaged in terms of we need to be saved from the evils of capitalism. What they do is they take all of the, they take a lot of passages in the Bible, most of them out of context, and make it sound as if the goal of Christianity is to redistribute the wealth through really government coercion, and that will deliver us from the evils of capitalism. So no longer is the evil we need to be delivered from personal sin, but it is capitalism. So they like to use, for example, Acts 2, verses 44 and 45, which says all of the believers had all things in common, and passages of that nature. Really, when you look at that passage, it's very clear that the government is not involved at all. It's personally what believers wanted to do, to help each other.
The believers chose to sell all and join together.
Right.
Now, I agree with you. I've been in a pulpit or two at night and or even in the mornings, and I've looked at the bulletin, and when I get to the microphone, I ask for a show of hands, Pastor, of how many deacons or elders, or some churches call deacons different things, and how many are in the congregation, how many are present, and I'll see them scattered around, and I'll go, how many of you all would like to know how to put $1, 2, or 3 million or whatever in your coffers overnight? Shout hallelujah. I'm not asking you to jump the pew, but shout hallelujah. Well, I look here on your bulletin, and you're only using this building a couple of hours a week. Sell it and rent Ramada. It's
right.
And look out in the parking lot at all the SUVs. Now, we used to own 2 SUVs, so I could be careful how I throw stones at myself. But yes, I want to give more. But I want God through the Holy Spirit to convict me of that. I don't want Obama. I don't want Romney. I don't want Jimmy Carter. I don't want Bill Clinton or my good friend George W. Bush, President 43, I don't want them telling me what I have to give. Is that the difference between the government's philosophy of redistribution and man on his knees deciding how he should give?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, the Bible says, I believe it's 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11, God loves a cheerful giver. It says, give not under compulsion. And quite frankly, when April 15th rolls around, I feel like I'm under compulsion.
You got that IRS agent gun at the head. Our guest is Pastor Andy Woods from Sugarland Bible Church. They can be found at slbc.org. We'll take a quick break and come back and go through some more reasons why our guest, Pastor Woods, believes evangelicals can vote for a Mormon. We'll be right back. And welcome back again to the What's Up Radio program with your host, Terry Lowry. All segments are already posted at terrylowry.com. Each and every day, you can go into our website at terrylowry.com and listen to all the interviews with our current guest, Andy Woods. Listen to interviews from prior days or last month. You can find them by guest, last name, by organization, topic, and day. You may be listening like last Tuesday, and I made the mistake of not resetting and telling you who the guest was, and you want to know more about that guest and the organization. Go to the archives, look for last Tuesday's date, and you can find all the guests that were on that day. Our current guest is Pastor Andy Woods from Sugarland Bible Church. He recently opined about how an evangelical Christian can support a Mormon for president. Pastor, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Is there a clear economic difference between the current president, Barack Hussein Obama, and his challenger, major challenger, the Republican nominee, Mormon Mitt Romney? From a scriptural standpoint, is there a clear difference?
I mean, in my opinion, there is. First of all, when it comes to economic matters, the Bible basically teaches don't steal and don't covet. And government-mandated wealth redistribution schemes are really built on coveting and stealing. In other words, I want something somebody else has, something somebody else earned, and I want that re-siphoned to me. And I think it was Thomas Sowell, the great conservative columnist, who called that institutionalized theft. And so, to my mind, that great society type of approach that we see under Obama and others is nothing more than government stealing.
Let me ask it this way. Recently I heard on the radio this statement, I have the right to have what you have. I have the right to have what you have. Where do you draw the line? As a pastor, do I have the right to a job?
Well, government, when we talk about rights, the rights in our Bill of Rights are protections from the state. So the right to free speech, the right to have a firearm.
Right to a symbol.
You go right on down the 10 lists. They're protections from government intervention. In other words, it's the right to be left alone from the state.
There are those that believe, Andy, that praise God, I love Obama because he gave me a phone. Praise God, I love Obama because he helped me get out from underneath my, I was upside down on my mortgage. And, oh, praise God, Obama gave me this, and Obama gives me that. Government gives me this, government gives me that, government gives me health care. In the Bible, are there scriptures? I know it does not say God helps him who helps himself. That's not in the scripture. Where do we draw the line in taking from one and giving to another? Where do we draw the line?
Yeah, well, that free phone that you have didn't just materialize out of thin air. Government can't give to one man what it doesn't take from another. And so the money has to come from somewhere. It's either going to be coerced out of the hands of somebody, or it's going to be borrowed from the next generation.
Okay, now,
so either way you look at it, it is stealing.
Is there a clear difference in the philosophies of the Democrat Party and Obama and the philosophy of the Republicans? Top of the ticket is Mitt Romney. We need to take a break. Quick answer.
Well, yes, there is a clear difference. One involves stealing. The other one does not involve stealing.
We'll take a break and come back with, what about pro-life? What about the sanctity of life? the sanctity of marriage as between one man and one woman. What about protecting and standing with Israel? We'll take a break and come back with Pastor Andy Woods. Pastor Sugarland Bible Church found at slbc.org. We'll be right back. And welcome back again to the What's Up Radio program with your host, Terry Lowry. Still with us discussing how an evangelical Christian can support a Mormon for president. Dr. Pastor Andy Woods from Sugarland Bible Church found at slbc.org. If you're just joining in, this is the third segment of four. We already have posted at terrylowry.com this interview with Dr. Pastor Andy Woods. Pastor, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Without repeating about the philosophy of Obama and versus Romney when it comes to economic matters, let us look at social matters. What about protecting the unborn? Since Jesus is not on the ballot anywhere, is there a clear difference between what the conservative Republicans stand for in regards to the sanctity of life from the moment of conception until natural death? Is there a big difference between the Democrat and the Republican, between Romney and Obama, and what would Jesus do?
Yeah, there's a night and day difference on that one. The Bible makes absolutely no distinction between unborn and born. The listeners can look up sometime Psalm 139, verse 13, or Jeremiah 1, verse 5. There's a plethora of scriptures we could give, but very clearly, what's going on inside the womb of the mother is the life from the point of conception. And the issue is a candidate going to favor legal protection for the unborn? The Republican Party platform clearly does, and the Democratic Party platform clearly does not. In fact, very quickly, Obama, when he was in the legislature in Illinois, defended a law which essentially allowed for the killing not only of unborn children, but of children that are dying there on the table with no care from the doctor that survived a botched abortion. So you can't get more of a contrast here between the pro-life and the pro-abortion position between these two parties. I believe Jesus, if he was here, would take that into consideration if he would be casting his ballot.
What about, Andy, what about marriage between two gays and two lesbians right now from a legal standpoint? You and I, we can go out and enter into a contract to buy land. You and I, we can go out and form a business and write a contract. You and I could enter into an agreement, a legal binding agreement that would give me the authority to turn off your machine should you be in the hospital, and vice versa. There is nothing that two gay men or two lesbian ladies cannot do contractually in America except be called man and wife or man and man under marriage. Is the laying of two men and two women together an abomination in the eyes of God?
Absolutely it is. God loves everybody, but he doesn't, as the old saying goes, he loves the sinner but hates the sin.
Now, I heard somebody put it this way, Pastor, that with the pro-life movement, we've killed over 50 million babies in America. With the teaching of our children in America that the homosexual lifestyle is the preferred lifestyle, that unless America changes and repents, that God is going to have to show his miraculous power in resurrecting Sodom and Gomorrah, resurrecting those that were killed and apologizing on his knees to them, should he not punish America. Is that too far?
Well, as far as when and if God brings judgment, the only judgment I know of is the 7-year tribulation period. So I don't know of any independent judgment, you know, on America before that. That's the only thing revealed in the Bible. But I will say this, every civilization that has sanctioned the homosexual lifestyle inevitably ends up deteriorating from within. And this was the point given in the rise and fall of the Roman Empire. This is one of the points that he brings out. And a society just cannot hold together when you depart from a divine standard. Marriage is really not ours to tinker with or to rewrite, because we are not the ones who invented it. It's God who invented it. And God is the creator and knows exactly what he is doing. And he has determined that marriage is to take place between one man and one woman for one life. And, of course, there are circumstances where people end up getting divorced and fall short. But this is still to be the standard that a society is built on.
Is there a clear difference between Obama and his sanction of homosexual marriage and the homosexual lifestyle and Mitt Romney? Is there
Absolutely.
A clear difference?
The Republican Party platform rejects any promotion of marriage that is not between man and woman. And the Democratic Party is the opposite. It wants to make the marital institution one of many lifestyle alternatives.
Pastor Andy Woods from Sugarland Bible Church is our guest. He recently opined how an evangelical Christian can support a Mormon for president. We'll take a quick break and come back with concluding remarks from Dr. Pastor Andy Woods, who can be found at slbc.org. And welcome back again to the What's Up Radio program with your host, Terry Lowry. Still with us from Sugarland Bible Church is their pastor, Dr. Andy Woods. He's here with us today as an individual, not as an official with the church. For identification purposes, we mentioned Sugarland Bible Church and their website, slbc.org. Dr. Andy, welcome back again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We've already posted the other three segments with Andy on our website at terrylowry.com. Andy, let's conclude with your remarks on a nation that abandons Israel. In your opinion, is there a clear difference between President candidate Obama and the Republican nominee for President Mitt Romney? Is there a clear difference between their stand with our closest ally, Israel?
In my opinion, there is a clear difference, and it's very disturbing to me to see Benjamin Netanyahu, the leader of Israel, come to the United States of America, and the president doesn't have time to meet with him because he's too busy visiting with various pop artists. It's very disturbing to me to watch our own president a couple of years back argue that Israel's, he said it in a speech anyway, although he did a little bit of backtracking, but to argue that Israel's borders should be reduced to their pre-1967 level, which makes Israel vulnerable to attack from hostile forces. And the Bible is very clear that whoever blesses Israel will be blessed. Whoever curses Israel will be cursed. You can track that right on through history. As we've seen, massive world powers, whether they be Egypt, Assyria, Medo-Persia, Babylon, Greece, or Rome, as revealed in the scripture, come against Israel, and suddenly, or over time, those nations begin to go under. And I believe that's true also with great empires today, even like the United States of America. So I see far more of a pro-Israel philosophy in the Republican candidate than I do in President Obama.
Dr. Andy Woods is our guest, pastor at Sugarland Bible Church. He's here as an individual discussing how he can vote for Mitt Romney. I hope I'm not putting words in your mouth.
No, you're not.
In your opinion piece, you conclude by saying, I'd rather be governed by a competent Turk than an incompetent Christian. Jimmy Carter serves as the perfect example of the incompetent Christian. Can we, as Bible-believing evangelicals, honestly go and vote for Mitt Romney and go to heaven and not be rebuked by God himself?
Well, I believe so, because you need to look at the governing philosophy of a candidate. Does the candidate's governing philosophy mirror the pages of God's Word or not? And if somebody is claiming to be a Christian but has a governing philosophy that is contrary to Christian truth, then I don't think we should vote for such an individual. And that's why I brought up Jimmy Carter, who was born again Jimmy, as he was known. He professed faith in Christ, and yet position after position after position went against God's Word, and that's why largely evangelicals abandon him. They voted for him in 1976, but they abandoned him for a man named Ronald Reagan in 1980. And Obama claims to be a Christian, although some of his Christian beliefs seem a little suspicious to me. He seems very promoting of liberation theology. Some have even suggested he's very acquiescent to Islamic doctrine. I don't know what's in the man's heart. All I can do is look at his positions. And his positions, one after another, as articulated in this opinion piece, seem to go against God's Word. So my vote goes to the person who's political positions better mirror Scripture. And in my opinion, and all believers have to wrestle with this themselves, the candidate that has better biblical positions this time around is Mitt Romney.
In my opinion, the host of the What's Up program, in my opinion, Dr. Andy, America cannot survive 4 more years with Obama at the helm. Dr. Andy Woods can be found at Sugarland Bible Church. Their website is slbc.org. Again, he was here as an individual. We mention his title as pastor and the organization Sugarland Bible Church for identification purposes. Dr. Andy, Godspeed, and be sure and get everybody out to vote.
Absolutely, and thanks for having me.